Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Wednesday on this 26th day of May 2021. And I'm thrilled to have as a first-time guest today, Chad Epperson, a successful Christian business owner who is CEO at United Treating and Distribution. He is the director of Philemon Fellowship for Anchored in Truth Ministries, and a member of the board of directors for the Attention Homes of Northwest Alabama. Today we are going to be addressing the theme, The Lie of Sacred versus Secular Life. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time ever to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Chad Epperson.
Hey, Chris. Excited to be here, brother.
I'm excited to have you on the program, and why don't you let our listeners know something, first of all, about United Treating and Distribution.
Yes, sir. We just had our 15th birthday, working on our 16th year. We have around 70 team members here, between plant employees and truck drivers. We have a trucking company as well included in that. And we are a business-to-business. We manufacture pressure-treated lumber, you know, what you would use outside of a fence or a deck kind of wood, for retail lumber yards as well as different manufacturers that would use wood. And we also remanufacture lumber for different types of construction of maybe utility trailers, that kind of stuff. And we ship about 20 states truckload quantities.
And if anybody wants more information about United Treating and Distribution, go to unitedtreating.com, unitedtreating.com. Now, let us hear something about Anchored in Truth Ministries, and even more specifically, about the Philemon Fellowship, that is a ministry within Anchored in Truth.
Yes, sir. Anchored in Truth is the missions arm of Grace Life Church of the Shoals here in Muscle Shoals, Alabama. It's we have church, and me being the director of Philemon Fellowship is new. We're just getting that started. But the Anchored Truth itself has church partners. We may partner with a church to help them, you know, get established or reestablished. They might have been an existing church, and anywhere from the boring logistic stuff, you know, all the way certain to theology and training as well. You know, we have the Pastors Training Institute that would come in that. We also do church plants, where we plant a church domestically and internationally. We have a Bible college in the Philippines that has quite a bit of churches connected with it as well. And that's just some of the things. We have missionaries we support as well directly. And we have, of course, our church part of it. Individuals contribute as well as other churches, you know, have joined in with us to use it as its missions arm as well. The Philemon Fellowship is about trying to gather up people that either own or run a business or an executive in a business that can make culture change and try to get us together to, you know, promote excellent business practices that will glorify God, to better support the church financially as well as be a blessing and support to our local pastors and their ministries, will be one of the focuses, as well as try to bridge that divide that sometimes can be between pastors and business leaders. Sometimes there seems like Satan does a good job of keeping them away from each other. We want to, build a bridge there to help them better work together under the authority of the pastors.
Well, if anybody wants to find out more about Anchored in Truth, go to anchoredintruth.org, anchoredintruth.org, and we will be airing throughout this broadcast commercials and every break for Anchored in Truth, and you'll hear more about them in those ads. And last but not least, tell us about Attention Homes of Northwest Alabama.
Yes, sir. That's dear to my heart. I was in the mid-ish 80s, was in that home myself, and been in years, for many years now, I've been on the board as an adult and serving with them. They were established in 1973. If you can imagine back then, or maybe it happened someplace today, if your parents got arrested, there was nowhere for police to take you but jail with them, until they could get a social worker or whatever, and just lots of crazy situations. That was kind of a gap there until the juvenile system could get involved. So we serve ages 10 to 18. We're serving at-risk and disadvantaged youth, mostly served through the family court systems. We're licensed by the Department of Youth Services. We serve approximately about 100 children per year. The average length of stay is 32 days. When I was in, I was there for 3 months, so some's less, some more. And man, they're just all kind of things, from just basic clothing and, a lot of these children have never really, didn't come from a home of structure, so it's literally in an attention home, not detention. There's parents that live there full time. They have, different levels of rewards and stuff to do chores and, how does a normal household work? We also work with the parents to try to give parenting classes. And so the house parents take care of them. They're their parents. And a lot of times, and it was, for a lot of times, it's their first foray into having maybe a normal, stable home life. So anyway, so we're just trying to serve those children and make a difference in their lives and show them a different way of life before they get into detention, they continue down some bad paths.
And where in the United States are most of these children from?
It's three counties. It's Northwest Alabama. We serve Colbert County, County called Lauderdale County, and Franklin County. So they're all, 99% of children from one of these three counties.
Well, you actually, the way you described that ministry sounds nearly identical to a ministry that is near and dear to my own heart, the Timothy Hill Children's Ranch in Riverhead, Long Island, New York, where I have been supporting that ministry for quite a number of years, going back to the late 80s, early 90s. And the co-founder of that wonderful ministry, Fern Hill, just went home to be with the Lord last week at 86 years of age. Dear sweet lady, survived by her husband, Jerry, and several adult children, but quite a providence that you have a ministry that seems nearly identical to the Timothy Hill Children's Ranch. And by the way, if anybody wants to find out more of that, about that ministry, serving New York, timothyhill.org, timothyhill.org. Now, you are a C-12 group ambassador, and in 2019, you won the C-12 Hero Award. What is the C-12 group?
So C-12, it is a business. It's a for-profit business that is built around providing a value to business owners or CEO executive levels to... Number one, that's the excellent MBA level material every month that we're learning from a business standpoint, but also how does that supported by the Bible, make sure we're doing business in a way that honors God, There's also a devotion time we do, and then we'll do a ministry segment where, you know, to help you better understand that this is not your business, it's God's business, you know, and how we steward in His business. It's really not ours, it's His. And then how can we as a business do ministry, and from all the way from gospel presentations to, you know, treating our people different than the world does. So really a whole 360 on the business from a biblical perspective, as well as just solid business tactics that are God honoring. And then it's a national, or even international. There's Brazil, a couple other countries that it's in, but it's got about 2,000 CEOs in it, and then about another close to 1,000 what we call key players. Like, I send two other people from my company to a separate group, the same material, but that's people that aren't the owner or the CEO that can learn these principles, and it helps the owner better implement those things into the business. So I've been a member for 12 years, believe in it. I pay to be a member of that. I go all day once a month. I spend time with about roughly 12 other people. You know, and there's multiple groups in our area, but I've got a particular group. And it's, you know, they hold you accountable. It's nice as a business owner, especially to be around Christians that are going through what you're going through. Don't have anything to gain or lose by just telling you the truth. I mean, they're just there to love you, hold you accountable, and keep you accountable and do the hard things.
And that website is c12group.com, C and the numbers, 1-2, group.com. And I believe I failed to give our listeners the Attention Homes of Northwest Alabama website. That is Attention Homes of NWAL, an abbreviation for Northwest Alabama, .org. Attention Homes of NWAL.org. Well, if anybody would like to join us on the air with a question of your own regarding our theme today, the lie of sacred versus secular life, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And we have a tradition here, before we go into that theme, the lie of sacred versus secular life, Chad, we have a tradition here in Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Whenever we air a first-time guest, we have that guest give a summary of their salvation testimony, including what kind of religious atmosphere, if any, they were raised in, and what kind of providential circumstances our sovereign Lord raised up in their lives that drew them to Himself and saved them. So let's hear your story.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate the opportunity always to share how God redeemed me and how thankful that is that He done that. I grew up single. My mom and dad got divorced when I was a year and a half. Dad was in my life, wonderful man that's went on to be with the Lord. But he and my mother's passed as well. But we had a couple of stepdads. We always went back to my grandfather's house. He was a missionary Baptist preacher. And so I was around, you know, because I'm from the South. If your third cousin, you know, went to church, you were a Christian almost in the South. And I'm obviously joking there, but, you know, the influence was around. But we'd always moved back. We moved a lot in multiple cities and counties and a couple different states when I was growing up. So, you know, I'd made a profession of faith at a young age, but it wasn't genuine, and I was kind of a rowdy youth. Started drinking and doing drugs at 11 years old. Was running the streets, living in my car at 16, so, you know, certainly wasn't living as a Christian, so the fruit didn't bear for sure. The fast forward, I got married, I was in the Army, quit drinking and drugging about at 19 years old, and I've been doing it for a lot of years before then, and cleaned up my life. I got out of the Army, went in a sales career. So what I tell people once again is I found my bottom what the world would call the top. So I had gotten, I'd got a sales job, selling cars, did good there. Ended up getting in the lumber business, selling lumber. My dad worked at a lumber company. I didn't work with him there, but he helped me get an interview, and I got on the job selling lumber. And so I was making really good money. You know, I thought, you know, to be happy that I should make a lot of money, be married, have kids, have a motorcycle, and a hot rod. I mean, for whatever reason, to me, that was success. And, you know, and I had achieved those things. And we would have visited a church every once in a while when we felt guilty or something. We'd visit a church near Malachwood. And one of the churches we visited, which is Grace Life Church of the Shows one time, I got on this list of theirs, which they would come visit me for visitation, because I visited one time and put out that card, you know, that give my name and address, and they would come visit me, and we'd know when visitation was, because they'd come so much, we would be like, hey, it's Monday night, let's go out to eat or something, those people are going to come. And they would come, and anyway, they had a revival, and they used to have a thing on the first day of revival called Friend Day, and my two sons at the time, young sons, what would have been their teachers, and then my wife's, what would have been her Sunday school teacher, got her to commit her and them to come to church. And back then, you had this card you filled out, and you signed it saying, I will be there. And I wouldn't do it. I said, I'm not going. I'm just not going. And so comes the Friend Day, my wife wakes up ill and says, honey, I'm not feeling good. You know, I have promised these ladies, I signed this card, that we would take, that I would bring the kids. And I said, I'm not doing this. Anyway, she finally convinced me, and then she says, oh, well, you got to take them to Sunday school, too. And I said, wait a minute. You know, you want me to take them to church, and then you want me to take them to Sunday school. So I did, you know. So I go to this class, and I always thought Christians were perfect. Not saying they portrayed that. That's the way I saw it. I knew I was a sinner. I knew I couldn't live up to his standard. And so I was in this guy's Sunday school class, and he was a big man. I'm talking about tall, manly man, deep voice. And I remember he taught the lesson and glorified Christ certainly in that lesson. But at the end, he said, guys, if y'all follow me rest of the week and go to work with me, I'm going to blow it some. I'm going to fail. I've never heard anybody, really a Christian, admit they sinned and they weren't perfect. But he said that there's one who is perfect and who loves you and basically give a gospel presentation. And I just was undone. The last barrier that I would give, like I said, would give, was that I, you know, couldn't live up to it. And the answer was, no, I can't. But, you know, and I'd heard that, I'm sure I'd heard that a million times in my life. But God was just ready that day for that message for me that day. And I gave my life to Christ that day. And that was May of 1995, 26 years ago this month.
Praise God.
I haven't looked back. Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Always love hearing.
I was lost and now I've been found.
Always love hearing how our sovereign Lord rescues people from the world, the flesh, the devil, and themselves, and rescues them even from their own alleged righteousness.
Right.
So the theme that we have today is the lie of sacred versus secular life. There are people that actually profess to be Christians that take that dichotomy to an extreme and actually live like they are two different people. There are people who save their Christian behavior for Sundays or whatever days during the week they also may gather with the saints, and then the rest of their lives and perhaps even their businesses, they are running them like the devil is in total control. And that obviously is a sign that somebody is not even really regenerate. But what did you mean specifically about the lie of sacred versus secular life?
Yeah, and I agree with your characterization there, but those would be the two extremes of that. That would be obvious to spot. I believe there's also a large part in the middle there to where that there may be somebody that is a believer, but they've been taught that, you know, faith is something private in your secular world, if you will, or what people want to call it, your mundane job. You know, you don't talk about, you know, religion and Christ and that kind of stuff. It's a personal thing. And that, the scripture just does not bear that out. You know, it tells us to be a light, sit up on a hill, to be salt to the world. I mean, it talks about let your faith be known. Don't hide it. It's talking about, you know, I think even good Christian brothers and sisters, kind of leave church, believers edified to a degree, but then there's the world system that they're willing to plug into on Monday morning and do things. My context is business. I'm a business owner, do a lot of business owners. You know, I know a lot of, you know, there's a lot of good brothers and sisters out there who, you know, aren't intentional about saying, you know, wherever I am in my life, my main goal is that I'm a minister of reconciliation. I am an ambassador for Christ. The reason God saved me wasn't for my purposes. They were for His purposes. And wherever He's given me favor and influence and dominion, I'm to be lifting Him up. And I think the church even propagates to a degree, I mean the church in general, because we're taught that, you know, if you really got it and you really love Jesus, you're either a pastor or a missionary, you've got to go on full-time ministry to serve the Lord. And I don't think that's what they're meaning to say, but that's certainly what the lay people see, and that they somehow, that these Bibles, the scriptures that call us, that tell us that we're ministers of reconciliation, that tell us we're ambassadors for Christ, that we're to be about the work of the Lord, that it's more of a call for those paid professionals, not for us in everyday life. And not just as I have an opportunity, but how intentional am I in those areas of my life to make sure that I'm, you know, like in my business, for instance, Chris, I work hard at, you know, spreadsheets and measurements and KPIs and planning, being strategic and all that. Well, that's great and wonderful. I should do that. But where am I doing those things for God's glory? Where am I being strategic about what are we going to do to glorify God in this business? And, you know, what do our policies say? And do they really love people? And do they seek to build people up? And, you know, and so that's just one way. But I think sometimes it's I'm in the secular from just an omission standpoint, that I'm not being intentional to be sacred everywhere.
You reminded me of a story that I just told recently on this show with a different guest, but I think it bears repeating, especially because of what you just said in your description of our theme today. That it reminded me of a story that has been confirmed as an accurate story by some Lutheran pastors and scholars that I know. But Martin Luther was approached by a cobbler, and the cobbler said to Martin Luther that he believed he would better serve Christ if he uprooted his wife and children and moved to a foreign land to be missionaries. And he asked Martin Luther what his opinion on that was. And Martin Luther said, "You are a cobbler, am I correct?" And the cobbler said, "Yes." He said, "Well, my advice to you is make a good shoe and sell it at a fair price." So obviously Martin Luther was not opposed to missionary labors, yeah. But there are people that fail to recognize the place where God has placed them in their lives, and the vocation that they have can be in and of itself a ministry. And obviously I think it's very important, and when we come back from the first break, which we are going into any second now, we'll have you respond to my concerns that, in fact, I'm sure that pastors deal with this situation often all over the world, where members of their congregations are abusing the time at their places of work, where they are not an owner of a company. They are answerable to owners and presidents and CEOs and so on. And they are, instead of doing the job they've been hired to do, they're evangelizing, or they are passing out tracts or reading the Bible, when they're actually robbing the time from their own employers. But I'll have you respond to that and when we come back from the break. If anybody, as I said before, if anybody has a question for Chad Epperson on the lie of sacred versus secular life, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. We'll be right back with Chad Epperson after these messages from our sponsors.
I'm Phil Johnson, host and executive director of Grace to You, the media ministry of John MacArthur. I hope you plan to join me and Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, for the G3 conference in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October 2nd. The theme this year is Christ is Supreme Over All. My friend Chris Arnzen and I will be joined by several of our other friends, including Vody Balcom, Justin Peters, Daryl Bernard Harrison, Virgil Walker, and James White. More than 20 other speakers will be joining us, and the lineup this year includes my pastor, John MacArthur. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Chris Arnzen and I hope to see you September 30th through October 2nd at G3 2021. This is Phil Johnson reminding you that Christ is supreme over all.
Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World Now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
Anchored in Truth Ministries is the mission arm of Grace Life Church of the Shoals. Based in Alabama, it supports missionaries in over 13 countries around the world. Anchored in Truth is in partnership with 36 church plants, as well as radio stations, theological seminaries, and various programs for unreached people groups. With an aim to glorify God and reach the nations with the gospel, it is a blessing to see how God has used Anchored in Truth in so many different contexts globally as well as locally. To find out more about this vital work worldwide, visit anchoredintruth.org.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm author Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Dan Lebenick of West Hills Baptist Church in Huntington Station, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Justin Peters of Justin Peters Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Reverend Buzz Taylor, author of God's Lawson, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Dr. William Webster, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Battleground, Washington, founder of the ministry Christian Resources. The NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Ryan Galan of Central Islip Community Church in Central Islip, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brandon Smith of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Jackson, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
The Wokeness in the Gospel Conference is coming to Denton Bible Church in Denton, Texas, June 11th and 12th. Register now by going online to wokenessandgospel.org. Featuring speakers such as Dr. Owen Strand.
If you just buy this ideology, the world's going to be made right. No, it's not. Only Jesus Christ makes the world right.
Daryl Harrison of the Just Thinking Podcast.
Sinners like you and me can be reconciled first and foremost to God and consequently to one another.
Pastor Tom Buck of First Baptist Church in Lindale, Texas.
Like Satan in the garden, woke hermeneutics undermines the very authority of the Word of God. I don't say that lightly.
Also hear from Tommy Nelson, Charles Stolfus, and Rodney Brown, confronting the lies being impressed upon the culture today, threatening even to divide the church, and answering with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Wokeness in the Gospel Conference coming to Denton Bible Church, June 11th and 12th. Register online at wokenessandgospel.org.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's leesdrugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
If If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Welcome back. If you just tuned in to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, our guest today is Chad Epperson, a successful Christian business owner who is CEO of United Treating and Distribution, director of Philemon Fellowship for Anchored in Truth Ministries, and a member of the board of directors for the Attention Homes of Northwest Alabama. We are discussing the lie of sacred versus secular life. Our email address, if you have a question, is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state of residence and country of residence. And as I said before the break, Chad, there are, unfortunately, Christians. Sometimes they're well-meaning, but sometimes it's using the cloak of Christianity, of faith, perhaps even of self-righteousness, to legitimize being a slackard, a sluggard, at work, not doing what you're being paid to do, so you could go around chatting with people about Christianity, or perhaps even just condemn them for their sins or false religion and pass out tracts, or sitting somewhere reading the Bible or something. That is not at all what you're talking about, is it?
No, not in the way that you said it. Of course not. I guess, you know, number one, we're under authority, and, if we're employed by someone, we're under their authority, and each different business may have a different level of, being okay with some of that, and some may not want it at all. And you kind of have to read the room and be sure you're honoring your employer in that way. But to speak, if I could, real quick, to what you ended with, the story about the cobbler and be a good cobbler, I 1,000% agree with that. It's hard to say, let me tell you about Jesus, or love, try to witness to someone, and you're the one that's always late, your work is lackluster, you're always trying to find a reason to not do your job. You know, we should be marked as someone with excellence who is, always trying to do more than it's expected, not less than it's expected, not just to our employer, but to our fellow employees, customers, whoever we're dealing with. We should be marked with love and excellence, especially if we're going to represent God the Father.
Amen. Now, you, as the CEO of United Treating and Distribution, you are in a unique position where you're not an employee, you're not bound by the stricter guidelines that might be in place for the employees as far as how they use their time. But nonetheless, before I go to any listener questions, If you could give us some examples and even some practical guidelines, how business owners and CEOs might learn from examples that you can provide of how you run United Treating and Distribution and use this business in some fashion as a ministry.
Yeah, so the context of I'm a business run by a Christian owner and or CEO, I believe we have an opportunity to create a different environment than your typical business would do. First, before you even try to witness in your business and all that and what you should do, you need to work towards being an excellent business. Now, excellence doesn't mean perfection. It means the pursuit of it and always trying to serve all the stakeholders very well. If I see another company with a fish on their card, but they don't call you back, they don't do what they say they're going to do, that is a bad testimony.
Yeah.
Now, we should not be a testimony to Christ. We should just do things excellent so, people will represent him well. So I have a unique opportunity as a leader of this business to create an environment that welcomes God's love and his truth in the business. There's certainly a balance, but that's just where I'm standing. There is no secular and sacred. Surely God didn't equip me the way he equipped me, made me the way he made me, give me the opportunity to spend most of my waking hours at this place of work, that he's given me stewardship and leadership over me and wants me to just simply work on making widgets and making money. I can't find biblically where that would be the case. Now, I should make widgets excellently. I need to make money to to keep the mission alive. There is no mission if there's not margin in the business. I should do it fairly and all those kind of things, and with honesty and treat people well. But you have a unique opportunity to unleash the church in your business. Now, can people go too far there? Sure. I mean, I can't have a guy that's supposed to be loading my truck parked outside instead of loading the truck reading the Bible for casual Bible reading. No, I mean, he needs to do that at home. But I certainly encourage one thing. Well, I have a Bible right here on my desk. I got other people with Bibles. If we're working on a problem or trying to find something, sure, I'm all for it. Want somebody to open that Bible up and seek wisdom or a biblical principle that would apply to what we're going through. We have a chaplain. I have a chaplain that comes here once a week and stops people doing work and just loves on them. Sometimes he's talking to them about Christ. Sometimes he's just talking to them about their marriage, their children, their aging parents. So we have an opportunity to create an environment that for that work, for that to be excellent, but that we can propagate with intentionality. I have key performance indicators on our ministry. How many events do we have that proclaim Christ? How many people talk to the chaplain? And how many people called him at night? I know how many people called him after. I don't know what they talked about, but I know they reached out to him. And so we have all kind of metrics that we use to try to continue to allow not just me, but the whole business to love people with the love of Christ. Our mission statement is that we're committed to glorifying God while serving and treating our team members, customers, suppliers, and communities the way and families the way we want to be treated. And that's based on the first and second greatest commandment, which is to, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And the second, like it is to love your neighbor as yourself. Just treat people the way you want to be treated. And that sounds easy, but they just don't do it that often. So, that's just a taste of some of the things we do here in ministry. We have people, multiple people a year give their life to Christ here. We're not a church. We're not trying to be a church. We are an extension of our churches, living the gospel out day in, day out.
You mentioned something that hasn't even occurred to me before. What a wonderful idea if you are capable of doing this. Obviously, this is not an obligation of a business owner, but if a business is lucrative enough and the means are there. What a wonderful idea to either have a volunteer chaplain or a paid chaplain on the premises at your business, not, again, so people can escape doing their job for counseling by a chaplain, but for those during a lunch break or a coffee break who might want to pop into the chaplain's office, or if they want to arrive at the job early before their hourly wages are earned, they can meet with the chaplain, or after work is over, and et cetera. That's an outstanding idea that didn't even occur to me.
Yeah, ours is a paid chaplain. There's actually several services in the country. Some of them are national. Ours is a national one. That's what they specialize in, is providing business as a chaplain. He comes once a week for several hours. He's available 24/7. But I tell you, Chris, even from a business owner talking about return on investment, we want to believe that people hit the door and they don't bring their life with them. And that's just not true. What happened last night, last week, in their marriage, or their kids, or aging parents, is on their mind. And so you're giving them a way to, I mean, he'll sit with them and have a two-hour session on work time, but he'll talk to them for 5 or 10 minutes, and then after hours, they'll talk on the phone or something and have an extensive counseling session. I mean, he's done funerals for us, weddings for us, for our people. That didn't have a church home or something, from a return on investment, what I was going to say is, our turnover is way down because we just love on people. Productivity is up, actually, because they know we love them and care about them. And it's not just about what can I squeeze from them. And so, that environment creates an environment where they want to do better and to be a good team member here, because they know we truly love them, not for what they do for us, because they're God's image bearers, and God has called us to love people in His name. And so believers and unbelievers respond to that very well. And so I'm actually a more productive company because we take time to talk about Jesus stuff. I pray before meetings. We pray about things. We will, call scripture. We share the gospel every Tuesday via all of our media outlets. We pray for our customers and send them prayer cards, and our employees and send them prayer cards. And like I said, it creates an environment where people want to do better. So even though technically there's less time they're working, they're so much more productive and happy, and you're helping them solve that problem with their marriage, with their children, with their aging parents. You come alongside them, giving them resources. I have a service I subscribe to that has thousands of videos that deal with all kind of life things from a biblical perspective that they access. Anyway, so just providing resources to reach their everyday lives. So when somebody's late, I used to be, well, why are you late? You're late. Let me beat on you a little bit. They still shouldn't be late. But now the question is, tell me what's going on with you. What happened? Well, my child was at the floor this morning throwing up, and I know I should have called, and I didn't. I'm sorry. Well, if that wasn't a pattern, there's somewhere I can minister to them. And we hold people accountable. We are a very accountable company. But instead of looking at it, what did they do against me, let me find out what's going on in their lives. Let me help them grow as a person. And because, this business, it'll burn up and go away. All that I accomplished through money and power and all that stuff is temporary and worldly. The impact I make on life for God's glory is all that will last.
Amen. We have an anonymous listener who asks, I have been treated more cruelly by professing Christian bosses than I have ever been treated by those in the secular world. There are businesses out there that are owned and operated by professing Christians that use the excuse that if they are going to glorify God through their business, they have to be the best business they can be, and in order to be that best business they can be, they should imitate what their competitors and others in their field are doing to be successful, And sometimes that includes things like ruthlessness and being overly harsh and strict with employees. I am so overwhelmed with joy hearing of your story. Can you please give some words of counsel to Christian executives, leaders, and business owners out there, how they should never imitate those negative things of the world just because they may appear to produce successful results?
Yeah, there's a lot in that, and I'll say amen to several things there. I'd like to start with, I'm a daily repenter. The things and truth and principles I'm telling you is on, as a habit, what we do. I fail and blow it and have to repent of that. And so, we all have to do that. I continue to repent. Most of us go around the world with a either or mentality. It's either this or that. And, I'm a big believer in most answers are both and. Yes, we should be excellent, absolutely excellent. But don't tell me that I've got to use the world's wisdom to be excellent, or even use their metrics to be excellent. You know, excellence to me is defined by the Bible, the Spirit, people I'm accountable to, and how I love and treat people is the definition of excellence. Now, that is not sloppy agape. Let me just share just really quick what a Christian company is not, maybe easier to say it. It's not the source for a livelihood. It's a mean that God has chosen to supply our needs at present, but He's the source. So look, I'd ask maybe that listener to, pray for those folks that have harmed him. I agree with him. And I said earlier, if I get another Christian Fish business card, and when I try to do business with that person, they're the worst plumber or whatever I can deal with. It just drives me crazy. So it's out there, especially to employees. A lot of times, business owners under a lot of pressure, and sometimes he don't know any better. He hasn't been trained on how, he can love people and get results. Beating on people and being a taskmaster. And look, I gotta just confess here, I've done it the wrong way, for years, and God continually through C-12 and through my personal Bible study continued to show me, hey, you're missing it, dummy. This thing is about God's kingdom. And I would have always said that, but a lot of my practices were worldly business practices that I had learned at other businesses. And so, I'm still a repenter and still learning. And so I don't know if I answered that question fully, but I agree with the listener. Give grace where give grace. The Bible says when somebody's harmed you, go to them. Go and talk to that brother. If he's truly a believer, and you go to him with the right heart and spirit, maybe he'll repent and you've won your brother.
Amen. And we have to go to our midway break right now. Please be patient with us, folks, because it's the longer than normal break in the show. Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle of the show because the SEC requires of them to localize this program to Lake City, Florida, geographically. And they do so with their own public service announcements and other local things. While they do that, we air our globally heard commercials. So please use this time wisely. Try to write down as much of the information provided by our advertisers as you possibly can so you can respond to them and even thank them for sponsoring this show, which will go a long way. And also use this time to send in questions to our guest today, Chad Epperson, on the theme of the lie of sacred versus secular life. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages with Chad Epperson.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. My friend Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I are headed down to Atlanta, Georgia once again for the G3 Conference. This year's G3 will be held Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October 2nd on the theme, Christ is Supreme Over All. I'll be joined by over 20 other speakers and musicians to lead in the worship of God through preaching, teaching, and singing, including John MacArthur, Phil Johnson, Conrad Mbewe, Daryl Bernard Harris,
Morrison, and Virgil Walker. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Chris Arnson and I hope to see you September 30th through October 2nd at G321. This is James White reminding you that Christ is supreme over all.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus. Reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Anchored in Truth Ministries is the mission arm of Grace Life Church of the Shoals. Based in Alabama, it supports missionaries in over 13 countries around the world. Anchored in Truth is in partnership with 36 church plants, as well as radio stations, theological seminaries, and various programs for unreached people groups. With an aim to glorify God and reach the nations with the gospel, it is a blessing to see how God has used Anchored in Truth in so many different contexts globally as well as locally. To find out more about this vital work worldwide, visit anchoredintruth.org.
Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvino, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York,
and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Corum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Avinio, and thanks for listening.
Here's what Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, had to say about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio recently.
Good to be back, Chris. I always enjoy our time. I have to say, you're one of the better interviewers out there, and I've been doing this for more than 30 years.
Wow, that's some compliment. How much do I owe you for that?
You don't have to owe me anything, so we're in good shape.
I'm glad you said it on the air, so I don't have to brag about myself. Tell your friends and loved ones about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, airing live Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time at IronSharpensIronRadio.com.
This is Pastor Bill Sasser, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
This is Pastor Bill Sasser, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
The Wokeness and the Gospel Conference is coming to Denton Bible Church in Denton, Texas, June 11th and 12th. Register now by going online to wokenessandgospel.org. Featuring speakers such as Dr. Owen Strand.
If you just buy this ideology, the world's going to be made right. No, it's not. Only Jesus Christ makes the world right.
Daryl Harrison of the Just Thinking Podcast.
Sinners like you and me can be reconciled first and foremost to God and consequently to one another.
Pastor Tom Buck of First Baptist Church in Lindale, Texas.
Like Satan in the garden, woke hermeneutics undermines the very authority of the Word of God. I don't say that lightly.
Also hear from Tommy Nelson, Charles Stolfus, and Rodney Brown. Confronting the lies being impressed upon the culture today, threatening even to divide the church, and answering with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Wokeness and the Gospel Conference coming to Denton Bible Church, June 11th and 12th. Register online at wokenessandgospel.org.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, Father's Day is not far away, and the perfect place to make your first stop for Father's Day shopping is solid-ground-books.com. And whether your dad is a fellow believer in the gospel of Jesus Christ or whether he is lost and does not yet know the gospel, well, solid-ground-books.com is a perfect place to do your shopping, because not only will you edify and bless the life of your dad if he is a Christian, but you will also possibly be used of God to lead your dad to eternal life in Christ through one of the biblically based books at solid-ground-books.com. The Lord has not only used the Bible, which he primarily uses, and has used from throughout the centuries of the Christian church to lead the lost to salvation, but he also uses excellent Christian books that have biblical content, that are biblically faithful, to lead the lost to Christ. So consider that when you are looking for a Father's Day gift. Go to solid-ground-books.com. And remember, you're not only going to be doing solid-ground-books.com a favor by purchasing books from them, and you're not only going to be doing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a favor by keeping a very important advertiser happy, you're going to be doing yourself and anyone for whom you purchase gifts from solid-ground-books.com, an enormous favor of incalculable value because they publish and bring back into print nothing but the finest in Reformed Christian literature from the past and the present. So, go to solid-ground-books.com frequently and purchase generously. Always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We just have a couple of more announcements to make before we return to our guest today, who is Chad Epperson, successful Christian business owner and CEO at United Treating and Distribution, director of Philemon Fellowship for Anchored in Truth Ministries, and a member of the board of directors for the Attention Homes of Northwest Alabama. Before we return to that discussion that we're having with Chad on the lie of sacred versus secular life, we just have some announcements that we need to make. First of all, you've been hearing on the program every day ads for the G3 conference, where I will be manning an exhibitor's booth for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, September 30th through October 2nd in Atlanta, Georgia. Some of these ads feature the name of Vody Balcom as one of the speakers on the roster. There is a question mark next to Vody's name now because he had to undergo quadruple bypass surgery not long ago. And although he is recovering very well, he is not out of the woods, and it is yet to be certain whether he will have the health and energy and stamina to return to the roster. I hope that he does, because I am looking forward to, as I always do, hearing him speak along with 20 other speakers at the G3 conference. And remember, for registration, go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com. Also, mark your calendars for tomorrow. We have Daryl Bernard Harrison and Virgil Walker, who are both co-hosts of the Just Thinking podcast. They are also going to be at the G3 conference. And Daryl is going to be speaking at a conference where I'll also be manning an exhibitor's booth next month, the Wokeness in the Gospel conference that you've been hearing advertised as well. The Wokeness and the Gospel conference, which is being held in Denton, Texas, June 11th and 12th. But tomorrow, both Daryl Bernard Harrison and Virgil Walker, who are both Black brothers in Christ, are going to be addressing the theme, the Wokeness Movement's Rejection of Diversity Among Black People. And we hope that you make a note to tune in tomorrow, Thursday, to hear that interview. Also, folks, if you love this show and you do not want it to disappear from the airways, please, I'm urging you, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. If you prefer snail mail, mailing in a check the old-fashioned way through the Postal Service, well, make out your checks to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and you will see a physical address that appears on your screen as well when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. Just mail your checks there. And if you would like to advertise with us, as long as whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with what we believe, you don't have to believe exactly as I do, but you do need to be promoting something that's compatible, at the very least, with what I believe, well, send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. I would be more than happy, I'd be more than thrilled to help you launch an ad campaign as quickly as possible, because we are in urgent need of your advertising dollars. Please, folks, keep in mind that the hysteria associated with the coronavirus pandemic has hurt so many people in our listening audience that our giving has gone down. We are hurting financially as a result of this hysteria, the overreach and overbearing restrictions that various governments throughout the 50 United States has had upon local businesses, and many of them owned by Christians, and those Christian business owners have therefore been giving less, or they've even worked at these places as employees, and they perhaps have been laid off. Perhaps they have been permanently terminated because the business is shut down, or has been unable to pay their employees because of this hysteria. Well, please help us make up for all that lost income, that lost giving that we are accustomed to receiving from our listeners. If you want us to survive and you love this show, please go to irontrippandzionradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. And remember, folks, I never want any of my listeners to be siphoning money away from your regular giving to your own local church that you're accustomed to in order to give to Iron Sharpens Zion Radio. Please never do that. In other words, never punish your own church financially by blessing us financially. Also, never put your wife, your children, in a place of financial peril and jeopardy by giving to Iron Sharpens Zion Radio if you're really struggling to survive. Those two things are commands of God in Scripture, providing for your church and family. Providing for my radio show is obviously not a command of God in Scripture. But if you are blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, you have extra money collecting interest in the bank, you have extra money for recreational and trivial purposes, and you love this show, please share some of that money with us to help us remain on the air. We need it now more than ever. Go to irontrippandzionradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Lastly, folks, if you are not a member of a biblically faithful, theologically sound church, no matter where on the planet Earth you live, I may be able to help you find a church, sometimes even within minutes of your own home. I have helped many people in our audience, spanning the entire globe, find churches near them that they didn't even know existed, or they didn't know the churches that they passed by every day were theologically sound. So if you are in that category of being in need of a biblically faithful church, please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com, no matter where you live in the world, and I will be eager to help you, if at all possible, find a church near you. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address to send in a question to Chad Epperson, our guest today, who is discussing with us the lie of sacred versus secular life. chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence. And Chad, we have Tyler in Patchogue, Long Island, New York, who says, "Do you think that Martin Luther's emphasis on the priesthood of all believers is important to this discussion?"
Absolutely. We are all called to the same ministry of reconciliation, and all believers are responsible. This is not the hired pastor or staff member's job to only to spread the gospel and the love of Christ and to even be a part of the sanctification process for fellow believers. I think it's absolutely necessary.
Well, thank you, Tyler. We have Bobby in Hartsdale, New York, who says, "Would you mind sharing some of the ways that you tried to make your business a ministry but failed, as you mentioned before the break? Some of the things that you learned from that were failures, or that things that weren't working quite right, and you learned from those mistakes and made your company not only a better company, but even a better ministry."
Yeah, you may have to give me 9 more episodes to cover all those. that's been one of the blessings of, like, C-12 has been, you know, I'm able to get in there and, you know, a lot of times a guy can't tell you what to do, but he can say, "Look, I tried that, and here's the 10 things that didn't work. Watch out for that." Mostly would be learning that when I walk in the door, remembering the perspective isn't necessarily the business and only. Like, normally I viewed everything from, "Well, you're right, how does this affect the business?" Now, I should care about how it affects business. I'm not saying you shouldn't, but as I said earlier, learning that all of those things that go wrong, consider James chapter 1, right? "Consider it all joy, my brethren, kind of various trials." So I've learned that when things aren't going right around here, there's an opportunity to minister to somebody, even if it's just teaching them something, you know, reminding them something, finding out what's going on in their life that kept them from performing excellently and really addressing the root cause of the problem in that person. Because I believe we have a stringent hire process, so we believe we've got the right people on board for the most part. So there must be something, some other way I need to serve them. So that's as much of a mindset shift that has greatly changed the impact we're having on people's lives, and in my life as well. Because the less you think of yourself, normally the happier you really are at peace in life.
We have Christopher in Western Suffolk County, Long Island, New York. And Christopher asks, are there certain laws that may differ from state to state that would prohibit an employer from evangelizing his employees or having any specifically Christian witness to them at the place of business?
I am so grateful for that question because I was wanting to talk about that subject specifically. So there's an organization of Christian attorneys called the Alliance Defending Freedom.
Oh, yeah, very familiar with them. In fact, I made use of them when my dear friend, Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, debated the notorious left-wing Barry Lynn, who at the time, he may still be, I'm not sure, he was the president of Americans United for the Separation of Church and State, and Dr. White debated Barry Lynn, who is an ordained United Church of Christ minister, a very liberal denomination, to put it mildly. They debated on, is homosexuality compatible with biblical Christianity? And Dr. White so clearly won this debate with Barry Lynn, and he was so clearly outraged and humiliated and embarrassed being a ACLU attorney, on top of being the president of the Americans for Separation of Church and State, that he threatened to sue Dr. White if he made the video of the debate available. And the Alliance for Defending Freedom, which used to be the Alliance Defense Fund, they stepped in, and Barry Lynn and his organization didn't even show up at the hearing, so the judge sided with Dr. White. But that was just a little wave of me plugging the Alliance Defending
Freedom. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so they're the ones that were behind a Hobby Lobby victory in the Supreme Court. You know, you've heard the news stories of the baker out west who, you know, was sued for not making a cake for homosexual wedding. Anyway, there's lots of... There's many more cases you don't hear about, but they're not just about defending you in that type setting, which they are, but they put out a guide every year. It's called Faith in the Workplace Guide, and that it gives you some good general advice if you're in the U.S. They have an international version as well, or international group that works on international law. Yes, there could be some nuances about state. They can help you with that. But here's the main principle I wanted to tell Christian business owners and leaders. The more open you are about the faith, actually the more protection you have. So for instance, if I was to have somebody and there was nothing about God in my hiring packet, there was nothing on the walls, you know, and then 3 months later I come in and ask them to let me pray for them, and I pray for them, or I say the name Jesus Christ or something, well, then they can claim a hostile work environment. But like here at my company, heard my mission statement, it starts with committed to glorifying God. We openly tell people at the application point that we're a Christian company. You don't have to be a Christian to work here, but there's prayer here. It's all through our values. So they know when they even think about coming here, that's the environment we are. And like I said, big time, you don't have to be a Christian to be here, but you got to understand that Jesus' name's going to be spoken, prayer's going to happen, teaching on biblical principles is going to happen, because everything we do is based on, you know, a biblical principle where we can apply directly. And so it's kind of an oxymoron. The more open you are, the less likelihood you're going to have a legal problem. Now, anybody can sue anybody for anything, but it's the exact opposite, because most, and I was at one time too, Christian business people are scared to death. They say the name of Jesus, they're going to get sued. So it's just how you do it, and there's a wise way to do it. You can actually be extremely open and evangelical. I share the gospel quite often in group meetings, a straight-out gospel presentation.
If anybody wants to find out more about the Alliance Defending Freedom, the organization that my guest Chad Epperson just mentioned, adflegal.org, ADF as in freedom, legal.org. We have another anonymous listener who says, do you think as Christians sometimes the wiser approach when you are being hassled or abused or threatened or having your pay cut or anything like that because of your Christian faith, the wiser approach at times may be not to stand up for your rights, even if everything you're doing is legal, and to just move on to look for another job? Is it always the best thing to fight for your rights?
You know, there probably needs to be some detail to get an exact answer there, because if this person's talking about, hey, I was lower pay because of my faith, because I read my Bible 4 hours a day at work, or I was harassing people and screaming at them that they're going to go to hell if they don't repent right now during work hours. If that kind of stuff was happening, you know, they may need to repent themselves of how they're doing things, how they honor their employer. If it's true persecution of, you know, it was that type of thing, absolutely you stand up for your rights. But you know, first do it humbly and try to seek understanding of that person that's doing that to you. Probably it didn't happen overnight that you went from where you are to your pay getting cut or whatever's happening. And I'm not sure it'd be legal to cut your pay for those reasons, but that's my thoughts there.
And I assume that you would probably agree that there are certain jobs where you should definitely stand up for your rights. Like if it's a government job and there are other people there who are, during their lunch breaks and other times, spreading whatever it is they hold near and dear that has a leftist ideology and goal, and yet you are a Christian and being silenced, I think that would be an ideal time. But don't you think that there are some circumstances, especially if a person is not necessarily in urgent need of retaining that specific job. They know that they have other opportunities elsewhere, that it might be the best Christian witness to say, hey, I disagree with you vehemently. I think you did me wrong. I'm going to be praying for you, but I'm going to move on because you obviously are too disturbed by my presence here.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's always this particular answer. I would say it's always okay to stand up for your rights, and I wouldn't say earlier that person stand up for the rights. I'm just saying you always look for what is my part in this conflict, and, you know, is there something I need to repent of or make right first? Second of all, God, you know, has you there for a reason. What is that reason? Has He released you to leave there? What is He calling you to do? You know, would be a huge part of that, and to have be in prayer and hopefully have some people that you're accountable to that help you pray for that, because God's never shocked or surprised. He wasn't like He didn't know that was going to happen. So what is His will? What is He trying to do through this situation would be my advice to maybe seek for. I mean, you shouldn't shrink back from sharing your faith. However, you know, are you sharing from a place of, I just want to be right? Let me tell you why you're wrong. Are you truly seeking their salvation or their sanctification and, you know, trying to glorify God in the way that you're responding? You know, just check your heart in that as well.
We have Joseph in South Central Pennsylvania who says, don't you think it's very wise for Christians who are owners and presidents and CEOs and leaders and those who have authority to sometimes make it clear that you are learning from an employee, where an employee may have some advice that is very important for the company and may even point out a mistake or error or something that you're doing that is not quite the best way to be conducting a certain area of business, and to use humility even though you have authority.
Absolutely. I mean, just because I have the position doesn't mean I'm all wise and all knowing. And God uses the entire body to instruct and to rebuke each other. You know, so certainly the way that's done should be with honor and respect. Not, hey, stupid owner, this is why you're doing this. Don't you know, you know, you're an idiot, wants to do it this way, you're not going to get too far that way. But absolutely, you should respect the authority. But that doesn't mean that that person's all wise. Matter of fact, you know, it's unwise to think I know it all and nobody can bring anything new. Matter of fact, what I tell my people, the people doing the actual work normally have the best ideas. Give me your ideas on how things can be better. I mean, I can interest them right now, but you know, that's where the best ideas come from.
We have John in Bangor, Maine, who asks, do you have any practical counsel and advice on how bosses can prevent themselves from becoming doormats by their own employees by behaving more like servant leaders and Christians in their businesses?
Yeah, my goal is I'm seeking to be a servant leader, and I've still got to grow. But I think absolutely should be a servant leader. Now, servant leader doesn't mean lack of accountability or lack of control. I mean, we have strong accountability here. We have strong standards and measures, and we're always training to improve. Matter of fact, leadership needs to be strong. Now, strong doesn't mean mean. Strong just means clear, concise. You know, they are listening to people. I think leadership, that's a part of what leadership is listening to others. But, you know, like I tell my management, we'll go in our meetings, we'll have discussions that I need to know every single thing you think and where I'm wrong. And then we'll make a decision and we walk out the door, lock step, let's go. You know, and, not talking back behind, hey, he's stupid, I knew that wouldn't work. That doesn't honor the Lord either, you know. I don't know if that answered the question, but that's my thoughts.
Yeah, I thought you did very well. We have another anonymous listener who says, do you think that it could be a very good idea, one that really reflects the love of Christ, for business owners and other leaders in the business world to have various plans set already that will be there to help in any way you can when you must terminate someone, even if it's some egregious act that got them fired?
Sure. There should be lots of policies and practices there. And, you know, I like to say I never fire anyone. I acknowledge their desire to be fired. But if somebody gets fired here, they've been well loved on, well coached, well, very plain, this is the action that it's not working. This is the corrective action we need to take. So I do believe it's the company's and the boss's responsibility to make sure they're very clear and patient in training. And what we kind of believe here is if I do enough patience and training and be clear with somebody about the expectations and be very open about that instead of mad one day and fire them. Matter of fact, we will not fire somebody on the spot for 99% of the things. There might be a couple of things. It comes to a degree, to a level, the manager, because we don't do it in a motion, would recommend that they be fired. A group of executives and the managers involved will meet with the record. And the question is, have we done all we can do to train and to coach this employee properly? If the answer is yes, then, you know, we're saying, okay, he don't want to work here. If it's no, we say, well, what do we need to do next? How do we need to serve this person to help them? And so, that's kind of the way we approach it.
I would imagine it would be a good idea if this person that you're firing is a professing Christian and has a pastor, that you approach that pastor and let them know the situation. I don't know if that would be violating any legal restrictions for an employer to do that, but do you have any thoughts on that?
You know, I don't know where that would be legally. You know, you definitely have to be careful, you know, with HIPAA laws and all, the way you share that type of stuff. Like here, nobody, if you're my employee, Chris, I may be, me or another manager may cancel you once a week for 13 weeks. Almost nobody else in the company would know that, you know. And so it seems like a surprise that you got fired because, you know, that can't be open, can't openly say, hey, I'm canceling Chris on this and he's not doing good. And, you know, you can't do that. So I don't know. I mean, certainly biblically, I would say, certainly that's his authority and the elders and that. I don't know how to answer that exactly, but it's certainly a good thought. I wouldn't disagree with the thought of that.
Now, one of the things that I would think would come under this theme of using your business as a ministry would be how you spend your money as a business owner and doing things that are acts of benevolence that clearly demonstrate the love of Christ to those in the community and those that with whom you're doing business. Isn't this an important aspect of this?
It is. In fact, just real quick say on using the business of the ministry, I don't think it's something you should just do. I don't know what other choice there is. If I'm a believer, I've been called to love others with the love of Christ. Wherever I am, whatever I'm doing, it all matters for eternity. So, you know, I just think there's no choice but to do it. But yes, we need money for the community, for other ministries. Like we have a thing called the UTD Cares Fund. It's a donor advised fund. Employees can contribute weekly out of paycheck. The company will match those funds. That'll go in a donor advised fund. We support Anchored in Truth. We support Shows Habitat for Humanity. And we support Detention Homes Northwest Alabama. And then we also support, like we had a ice storm here and nobody could work for almost a week. And so we was able to take that UTD Cares Fund and pay the employees a percentage of their normal pay so that they could pay the bills, you know, or you know, we might pay for a funeral or whatever, you know, with that, and for employees or families or the community. And so, yeah, I think it's very important, but that should all come after, you know, the tie to the church, to the local church. Everything should be rooted in a local church as well.
We have Susan Margaret in Dauphin County, Pennsylvania, who says, I have heard from people that I know a very twisted version of what you are speaking about, that there is a lie behind sacred versus secular living. And I agree with everything that you have said so far, 100%. But what I'm referring to is that people who use this as a motto, who introduce things into corporate worship services that are actually a violation of Scripture, where they are adding things that the Bible nowhere gives liberty to have these things going on. I'm not talking about sinful acts in and of themselves. They could be things that Christians may freely enjoy doing while they are going about on their day-to-day lives, but I'm talking about importing things into a specific worship service on Sunday. That would be inappropriate under the guideline of there being no distinction from sacred and secular. I hope that I'm making sense here. And what do you have to say about my statements?
I don't know that I fully follow there, but I will say there are, you know, in every walk of life there are evil hearts. And there are wolves in sheep's clothing. And, you know, normally over time the why will bear out to what the person's real motive was, by all means. I mean, there are preachers out there that are in it for just the money, right? They're in a church and they're got evil motives. So the why that you're doing things matters, by all means. Christian, maybe you can help me better focus on the point there.
I think, and perhaps Susan Margaret, if I'm misinterpreting her, she can send in another email. But I was actually thinking about something before the show began under the same lines, whereas in our day and age, and it's been going on for far too long, actually, there are churches that will use the line that might be similar to, there is no separation of sacred and secular in a Christian's life. They'll use that as an excuse to have a, for instance, a clown perform and worship service, because there's nothing wrong with having a clown at your children's birthday party. So then we can have them in a worship service. We can have a magic act in a worship service. We could have dancers and all kinds of things that the imagination can conjure up, because they don't see any line of difference between sacred and secular. I think that may be where she's coming from, but I don't know that for a fact.
Well, I'll answer from that perspective, being that is not what I mean by sacred and secular. I think there's lines there. I mean, I'm not using this to fully criticize this. Once again, it's the heart. You know, am I depending on if I'm a church and I'm in charge of the church, I mean, and if I'm depending on my cleverness, my ideas to draw people in and keep them there, and I'm not basing things on biblical truths, then I think I've started the race wrong. Why do I think I need to use smoke on the stage and all that and have, you know, a concert type event, and I'm not trying to, offend anybody there, but my point would be, why am I doing the things I'm doing? So I do think there's a line there, and each person's got to, you know, really ask the heart, what am I really trying to draw them in with? If it's anything but the truth of the Word of God, then it's not going to work. It's not going to sustain. If I got to entertain them to get them there and to keep them there, then the Spirit doesn't have them there. So, you know, to say I should use any means necessary, let's go get drunk at church to get people that like to drink too much and excessive, so I'll say, so I can preach the word to them. I would say that's crossing the line, personally. What we need are preachers that preach the complete true word of God. They feed the sheep meat, not milk all the time.
Amen. I don't know if you are in agreement with what is called the regulative principle, but I think that would be a good way to explain that there is a difference in what takes place at a unique gathering known as a corporate worship service. There's something different about that than what goes on at your home during a barbecue. And everything that goes on in your backyard may be completely legitimate as a Christian to do, but you wouldn't necessarily be doing it in a worship service. Now, a church obviously can have barbecues. I'm not talking about that. But they wouldn't want to have a barbecue during a worship service.
Correct. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we'll have a church picnic, you're saying, but it's not during the preaching and all that. We're gathering together and, you know, having a picnic and having a fireworks show, you know, but, you know, that's not the day in, day out Sunday in the worship service that we're doing.
And we have to go to our... thank you, Susan Margaret. And we have to go to our final break. It's going to be a lot more brief than the other breaks. But if you have a question that you'd like to ask, please submit it immediately, because we're rapidly running out of time. chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Chad Epperson after these messages.
Fellowship with one another as we're walking in. Hello, dear ones. My name is Justin Peters, and my friend Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I are frequently blessed to share great times of fellowship with one another at conferences all over the United States. We'll both be enjoying more fellowship together at the G3 conference in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October the 2nd, on the theme, Christ is Supreme Over All. I'll be speaking there along with over 20 other speakers, including John MacArthur, Phil Johnson, Vodi Balcom, Joel Beakey, and James White. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Please join Chris Arnzen and me September 30th through October the 2nd at G3 2021. This is Justin Peters reminding you that Christ is supreme over all.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402. Or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
The Wokeness in the Gospel Conference is coming to Denton Bible Church in Denton, Texas, June 11th and 12th. Register now by going online to wokenessandgospel.org. Featuring speakers such as Dr. Owen Strand.
If you just buy this ideology, the world's going to be made right. No, it's not. Only Jesus Christ makes the world right.
Daryl Harrison of the Just Thinking Podcast.
Sinners like you and me can be reconciled first and foremost to God and consequently to one another.
Pastor Tom Buck of First Baptist Church in Lindale, Texas.
Like Satan in the garden, woke hermeneutics undermines the very authority of the Word of God. I don't say that lightly.
Also hear from Tommy Nelson, Charles Stolfus, and Rodney Brown, confronting the lies being impressed upon the culture today, threatening even to divide the church, and answering with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Wokeness and the Gospel Conference coming to Denton Bible Church, June 11th and 12th. Register online at wokenessandgospel.org.
Anchored in Truth Ministries is the mission arm of Grace Life Church of the Shoals. Based in Alabama, it supports missionaries in over 13 countries around the world. Anchored in Truth is in partnership with 36 church plants, as well as radio stations, theological seminaries, and various programs for unreached people groups. With an aim to glorify God and reach the nations with the gospel, it is a blessing to see how God has used Anchored in Truth in so many different contexts globally as well as locally. To find out more about this vital work worldwide, visit anchoredintruth.org.
Chad Epperson, if you could please summarize in about 2 minutes what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today regarding the theme we've been discussing.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate that opportunity. Yes, the main thing I'm trying to say is, and I guess I was saying sacred versus secular from the day-to-day life of everyone, not necessarily in the church services, that kind of stuff. What I was trying to say is, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, wherever God has placed you, a worker, a volunteer, a homemaker, a business owner, a leader, whatever you are, radio host, whatever you're doing, it's about God's glory. If you've been redeemed, He redeemed you for His purposes and His glory. Ephesians 2:10 tells us we are His workmanship, and He has prepared beforehand the works He has us to do. And peace comes from following His plan, being about what He has created us to do. So if, in specific to my most, the world I'm in most times, speaking to business owners and leaders, I want to be specific to say that business is not there for your purposes, just simply for you to make more money. Nothing wrong with making money, but it cannot be the primary purpose. Excellent, yes. The best reputation in your industry, yes, strive for that. Treat people with honor and respect. But wake up every day with the perspective of, I'm here as an ambassador for Christ. I'm here to be about being a minister of reconciliation, reconcile a lost world to Christ, helping believers move forward in sanctification so that they are giving more glory to God and understand how they can love on people in the everyday things of life, to earn the right to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. Just look at everything from that lens. There is not a separation from this thing is holy and this thing is not holy. if you're a believer, God has called your whole life to be holy. He tells us to be holy, for He is holy. And the reason why is because He is in us. That's the main thing I want to say.
Amen. And I want to make sure our listeners have your various websites for the business owned by our guest today. You could go to the website unitedtreating.com, unitedtreating.com. For Anchored in Truth Ministries, go to anchoredintruth.org, anchoredintruth.org. And for Attention Homes of Northwest Alabama, go to attentionhomesnwal.org, attentionhomesnwal.org. I want to thank you so much for being such a superb guest today, Chad. I look forward to you returning to this program. I want to thank everybody who listened, especially those who took the time to write. I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.